So today we're in Acts 20. We're working our way through the book of Acts, the early history of the church. And Paul is coming to the end of his missionary journeys. There have been three missionary journeys. Let me just review. The first missionary journey was 2 years. He traveled 1,200 miles, roughly, by land and by sea. The second missionary journey was 2,700 miles he traveled. It lasted 3 years. And in Acts 20, he's coming to the end of his third missionary journey. It lasted 4 years, 2,500 miles by land and by sea. He started in Antioch, and he looped around. You can see he looped around to all the places he's already been. He's planted churches there. And then when he gets in Corinth, he's heading back the same way. Remember, he was in Ephesus for 3 years. He doesn't stop in Ephesus on the way back. He's in a hurry to get to Jerusalem. He's got up to 8 people traveling with him on the third journey, and they're all representatives from the churches he started. And they took an offering. So they've got an offering with them, and they're in a hurry to get back and give the offering to the church in Jerusalem, which is under great persecution. So he's thinking about giving this gift, and these 8 representatives are with him and getting to Jerusalem. So he sails past Ephesus. Maybe he had nothing to say about it because he's on a cargo ship, and maybe he had nothing to say about what port he was going to stop in. So he's in Miletus, which is 30 miles south of Ephesus, but he really wants to see the elders, the shepherds in Ephesus, so he sends for them. And the text we're going to look at today is what Paul has to say to the shepherds in Ephesus. So this is the only speech in Acts where Paul is speaking to Christians. Every other speech is to Jewish people that need to know that Jesus is Messiah, or to Greek people or Gentile people who don't know anything about God becoming flesh and Jesus Christ and so on. So this is the only speech in Acts where he's speaking to Christians, and they're shepherds, they're elders, they're in charge of a flock, they're over a church. And so any one of us who is a shepherd, and you have kids, you're an elder, you're a pastor, it certainly speaks to me. But there's lots of shepherds in the room today. Moms are shepherds, right? So if you're a leader, if you're a coach, if you're a teacher, you shepherd students. And so these words, I think, are very personal, very instructive, very helpful to us today. I love this passage. So, the title today is The Portrait of a Shepherd. We're going to look at Acts 20, verses 18 to 38. First, the shepherd's portrait, and you'll see how Paul paints a picture of how a shepherd leads and models and feeds and guards and entrusts and loves. And then at the end, there's a surprise promise here, a shepherd's promise from the Lord Jesus himself. So let's go through this portrait first. A shepherd leads, chapter 20, verse 28. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. So a shepherd, by definition, is not a sheep. A shepherd is a leader of a flock. Verse 28 calls these leaders overseers. In the Greek, the word is episkopos. Epi means over, skopos means scope. So you're overseeing the flock, what needs to happen, what needs to be done. A shepherd is an overseer. A shepherd is a superintendent. And they lead because they're appointed by the Holy Spirit. So this is a divine assignment. God wants the sheep to have shepherds. So it is a divine calling. And who do the shepherds lead? They don't lead their own flock. The sheep don't belong to them. They lead God's flock, God's sheep. Let me ask a simple question. Who do children belong to? Do the children belong to the state? Do they belong to the church? Do they belong to the neighborhood? Don't they belong to the parents? Don't the children belong to the parents? I suppose you could say the children belong to God too, right? Well, who does the church belong to? I mean, is this Paul's church? Is this Peter's church? Does the church belong to the pastor? To a denomination? Does the church belong to the people? The church belongs to God. We belong to God. Don't forget that. And Jesus purchased the church with his precious blood on the cross. And the Father is giving the church as a bride, as an inheritance to his Son. So being the shepherd over the church is a very high, very sacred, very holy calling to lead the sheep that belong to God. What would happen in the world, to the family, to the church, if we had no shepherds? What would we have? Do you think we have too many shepherds in the world? Do you think we have too many sheep in the world? What do you think? God wants shepherds. Shepherds who will lead. Well, the second thing Paul talks about is how a shepherd models, verse 33. I have never coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes. You know that these hands of mine have worked to supply my own needs and even the needs of those who are with me. And I've been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. So Paul is not just a shepherd of sheep. He is a shepherd of shepherds. And a shepherd, by definition, is a role model. Shepherds lead by example. For 3 years, Paul was in Ephesus. They watched him model Christian living. They watched him as he preached. They watched him at work. And look what he says about his example. The first thing he says is, I did not covet. Now, I have to tell you, I wondered why that was first on the list. And maybe because that is a particular temptation for him or a particular temptation for people in ministry and missions. I did not covet. He wants them to know that first. I worked hard, he said. I took care of my needs. I took care of others in need who were with me. I set an example, a constant example, he said. No one could ever accuse Paul of being unaware or lazy, right? Paul worked with his hands. He was working with leather. And Paul largely supported himself on his missionary journeys. And the proof of his hard work was this team of elders who came to see him off, the team of elders who traveled with him on the ship back to Jerusalem. So his work was building tents, and he was building shepherds at the same time. So here in Miletus, Paul is there on the shore with as many as 10, 15, 20 shepherds are there with him who have learned from his example. How did he manage all this? Well, in Ephesus, I read at the time, a common work day was from sunrise to 11 a.m., then they would take a long siesta. The siesta, the lunch break, was from about 11 to 4. And then 4 o'clock, they'd go back to work till evening. So scholars think that Paul, when he rented that lecture hall in Ephesus, remember, he rented that lecture hall in Ephesus, and he started a portable church, a portable school, and he taught for 2 years. While everybody else was on siesta, he was probably there in the lecture hall teaching and preaching and answering questions and training pastors. So he worked from sunrise to sunset, and then he gave sermons in the afternoon. He's working hard. He's working hard. And shepherding is hard work. And that's what Paul modeled. John Maxwell said, a leader is one who knows the way to go, who goes the way, and who shows the way. That's what Paul did. Third, a shepherd feeds. Verse 20, I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your homes. I have had one message for Jews and Greeks alike: the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and having faith in our Lord Jesus. In Acts 20, 28, says simply, feed and shepherd God's flock. Shepherds feed the people with all that is profitable to grow into maturity, and this includes the negative, the necessity of repenting from sin, and the positive, having faith in our Lord Jesus. So shepherds warn and shepherds affirm. Both are necessary. They warn of sin. They don't celebrate what God calls sin. They prune away those symptoms of a self-centered life. And shepherds affirm. They affirm faith in the Lord Jesus and the life of faith. And they unpack all the riches of the gospel and the benefits of eternal life. They sing Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So shepherds teach the people all the benefits of the life of faith. Now, if you have a shepherd who is always warning, or a shepherd who is always affirming, that will not lead people to maturity. That is unbalanced. Just as a parent who always warns or always affirms, that won't lead their children to maturity. John Stott wrote a book years ago called Confess Your Sins. And in the first half of the book, he unpacked the idea of confession and why it's important and how a Christian can confess their sin, whether it's a private sin or a public sin, what should be done in confessing sin. And then the second half of the book is what not to do when you confess sin. And he really didn't like the idea of going in to a booth and confessing to a priest. He did not like that. He did not recommend that. Don't do that. So then the reviews came out on the book, and several church leaders, he said, told him, John, I like you when you're positive. I don't like you when you're negative. Isn't that the way it goes? And this is from church leaders. Shepherds know they will be liked when they're affirming. We know that. And shepherds know they will be disliked when they are warning. So what's the shepherd to do? Paul says he never shrank back from saying what needed to be said at the time, whether it's the warning or whether it's the affirming. Ezekiel 33, God is talking to the watchmen, the shepherds of Israel. He says to them, if the watchman sees the sword is coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people and the sword comes, I will hold the watchman accountable for their blood. So we must bring the warning or damage will be done. And so the shepherd must feed the sheep the whole counsel of God because they know they are accountable to God. And shepherds feed without favoritism. Paul says, whether Jews or Greeks, young or old, men or women, the nice sheep you like and the ornery sheep you don't like, they all get the same medicine. No favoritism. And I have to remind you, I have to remind myself, we're still sheep. We're prone to wander, and that's why I need the constant food of the Word of God so that we can keep up our repentance and keep our faith at full strength with warning and with the affirming that we need. Fourth, a shepherd guards. Verse 28. So guard yourselves and God's people, verse 29. I know, Paul says, that false teachers like vicious wolves will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some men from your own group, fellow elders, will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw following. Watch out, he says. So there's a twofold guarding commanded here. First, shepherds must guard themselves. And second, shepherds must guard God's people. So a shepherd who does not guard his own soul can hardly be trusted to guard the souls of others, right? A shepherd who does not guard God's people is feeding them to the wolves. And wolves don't come to play checkers. Wolves are vicious. They've got one thing in mind. And part of that viciousness is the way they sneak in, the way they disguise themselves, the way they prey on people. And then no one sees the evil until they attack, and then the damage is done. We know stories like this. I have stories like this in my family, where my cousins were preyed on by a pastor. It's sick. What should a shepherd watch out for? The answer is in verse 29. A shepherd guards themselves and the people from error, from lies, from corruptions, from perversions. The wolves are false teachers. They pervert. They distort the truth. So let's step back and ask a question. What is the truth? Well, truth is what conforms to reality. Truth is saying it like it is. Truth is calling balls and strikes. Am I speaking to you at Central Elementary School right now? That's true. I'm not out on the golf course. I'm not putting for triple bogey. That happens too, but not now. Truth is telling it like it is. Truth is what conforms to reality. Is 2 plus 2 4? That's not a trick question. Yes, it's true. Well, if you've read the end of 1984, you're like, I'm not sure anymore. And that's what the wolves do. If you say 2 plus 2 is 4, they'll distort that. They'll say, nah, that's racist. That's how it works. That's what's being said. The wolves, they make you question the truth. The wolves, they make you question reality. The wolves make you doubt the obvious. Do we have wolves today? We do. That's why we need shepherds. So I was a youth pastor for 26 years. And after a while, I began to teach this. I would say to my students, because they're living, everything is relative. That's all they heard for years. I said to them, you can know the truth. And the opposite of true is false. It was like, well, why would I have to say something like that? But when you're growing up in an educational system that's steeped in relativism, and no such thing as objective truth exists, and the umpires call whatever they want to call, there's no such thing as a ball and strike till the umpire says it. That's what postmodernism is. That's the philosophy of the classroom. So I found it necessary for me to tell students, you can know the truth, and the opposite of true is false. Just to clear the fog so you can learn. So we need watchful shepherds. The wolves in our society are tearing people away from reality. The lies, the distortions, the gaslighting, they're increasing in size and frequency. Shepherds are the solution. Their assignment is to see above the fog. See above the fog. Don't get caught in the fog. See above it. Teach. Use that biblically tuned moral compass. Warn and train the sheep. Ground them in reality again, as it is, and as it should be, with Jesus as Lord. Not everything that is ought to be, right? So the shepherd knows what the great shepherd is saying, and we teach what ought to be in the world, governed by the lordship of Jesus. So this is no small work, is it? Fifth, a shepherd entrusts, verse 32. And now Paul says, I entrust you to God and the message of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those he has set apart for himself. So the word entrust means to give someone over to the care or protection of someone else. Well, Paul is leaving. He's never going to see these elders again. His missionary travels are over. Well, who's going to shepherd the shepherds? So Paul entrusts these shepherds to God's care. He does this, I think, in prayer. He says, all right, you belong to God now. I'm done. Shepherds, mothers, teachers, caregivers. We can all get discouraged, right? What difference am I making? Have you ever said that? Who cares for the caregivers? Who shepherds the shepherds? Who gives to the givers? Well, Paul said, God's grace. He gives the shepherds over to God in God's grace, who will build them up because he's leaving. And then there's a bonus here, an incentive. God will give the shepherds an eternal inheritance. There is a reward for leading and shepherding his people. But the time comes when the shepherd's work is done. The school year is over, the students graduate, even the church is planted and the pastor moves on. The sheep grow up and they leave the house. The time for parenting is over. The kids want their own independence, you know. You don't want to parent them when they're 35 and 45, 25, 17, 15. So the shepherd has to know when the time is right, when their shepherding ends and their entrusting begins, and they say to the children, you belong to God now. I've done all the damage I can do. I'm giving you to God. If you need me, give me a call. And sixth, the shepherd loves. Look at how this scene ends here. Paul is done speaking, verse 36. He knelt and prayed with him. That's what you do when you entrust people. You're probably praying like never before. I'm giving you to God. I'm just going to pray. It all works out. So he knelt and prayed with them, verse 37. They all cried as they embraced and kissed him goodbye. They were sad, most of all because he had said that he would never see them again, and they escorted him down to the ship. Now, I got some tears in my eyes when I read through this week. After his speech, the tears are flowing. It's a very moving scene. There wasn't a dry eye in the place, in the group. Look how they loved each other. There's nothing really like the bond between a shepherd and the people. That is a very powerful bond, the bond between a mother and a child, a teacher and a student, a coach and an athlete. These are strong bonds. And it's hard to say goodbye. Good shepherds like good moms, they're so rare, they're so loving. How do you say goodbye? John 10, 11, the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. And I even in saying goodbye, it feels like another sacrifice, another giving of a piece of yourself away. That's the way Paul feels. Now, what's the conclusion? What do you say after this? Well, if you have a red letter Bible, you could see the conclusion of Paul's speeches in red letters. We have a command from the Lord Jesus, a promise from Jesus himself to the elders, to the shepherds. It's here in Acts 20. It's only here in Acts 20. I know you know what it is. You've heard it before. Verse 35, the shepherd's promise is this: you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Ah, you've heard that before? That promise is given to the shepherds as Paul says goodbye to these elders, these shepherds that he has given his life to. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So as the shepherd leads and the shepherd models and the shepherd feeds and the shepherd guards and the shepherd entrusts and the shepherd loves and gives and gives and gives over and over again, Jesus says that shepherd will be blessed through their giving. Amen. Pastor, I'm out of gas. I can't give anymore. Hear the promise. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I will close with one story about my mom. You've heard it before. I've told it here before. It was Christmas a few years ago. My family traveled up to Buffalo where my mom was in a home, and we played Christmas songs, cello, guitar. We sang, I think, in one of the meeting rooms there. And Mom was in a very bad mood. She didn't look up. She didn't talk to us. She said nothing. And we played for 20 minutes and tried to talk to her. And it was just nothing. And all she did was stomp her foot from her wheelchair and said, "Take me down to eat." How was that? Merry Christmas. And so I rolled Mom down to the cafeteria and we left. We were stunned. It was like, what just happened? And so 3 days later, I get a phone call and it was Mom on the phone. Now, that took some effort for her to call on the phone because she's 102. She's got to go fetch help. They got to hold the phone. They got to dial the number. So she called me and she said, "Roger, I have to tell you what happened. I was so low. I was so blue." That's how she would describe her depression. "And there you were singing. And I had nothing to give you." That's why she was so down. Because Mom never missed a holiday. Mom never missed an anniversary. She never missed a birthday. There was always a card in there. There was always money in there. There was always something from Mom. But this Christmas, she had nothing to give us. And that was the worst thing that could ever happen to her. What do shepherds want to do? They want to give. So Mom gave me 3 I love yous on the phone. "I love you, I love you, I love you," really fast. And she made up for Christmas. She found something to give. And it really blessed me. And it blessed her. Amen. So shepherds, moms, teachers, coaches, you're feeling pretty down, you're feeling pretty blue. Keep giving. That's where the blessing is. Amen. Father, thank you for this word. It feeds me so much. I feel like you're talking right to me this morning, because I am a shepherd. I feel like you're talking right to the moms who are here, because they're shepherds. And this word from God feeds us. And I pray it does encourage the moms and the shepherds. Thank you that I stand before a room full of shepherds. I prayed so many times, "God, give me a church full of shepherds. If we have a church full of shepherds, we can help people. We can grow people. We can lead people to maturity. So thank you for the shepherds of Living Rock. Lord, fill us now. Send the blessing the moms need. Send the blessing we each need this morning to keep going and to keep giving. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.